From the newsroom of Impact Alpha, I'm Brian Walsh, and this is your Impact Briefing for Friday, April 14th. Today, Ariane Mahler of Viridian Global Investors joins David Bank to share their strategy to get investors to go carbon negative in public equities.
Net zero is not going to get us anywhere. Net zero is too late.
But first, here's what you need to know from this week in Impact Investing. A new social marketplace has brokered its first deal. It's the sale of $2 billion in improved education and mental health outcomes for children in Ukraine. The New York-based OutcomesX is using the transaction to launch its platform to offer what they're calling verified impact units in education, public health, and youth development. The Swiss bank UBS is the buyer of the first Outcomes, which OutcomesX sourced from nonprofits in Ukraine. India's urban slums are a testbed for climate solutions. But where are the investors? The architecture firm Community Design Agency is collaborating with residents of a city outside of Mumbai to provide permanent shelters from heat waves and floods. Last year, 33 families moved into a new block of homes with cooler roofs, cross ventilation, toilets, and community spaces. Impact Alpha contributor Shefali Anand visited the project for a glimpse into the future of climate adaptation solutions to help the more than half of urban residents worldwide who live in slums. The impact ratings of municipal bonds vary widely. Impact Alpha is contributing with HIP Investor to identify upcoming issuances with social and/or environmental significance. First up, a $66 million bond to finance a 3.5-mile extension of the Kansas City streetcar, one of the first transit projects to receive the Envision Platinum Award for environmental design in sustainable infrastructure. HIP Investor rated the bond net positive. And Impact Alpha was honored to help Suzanne Beagle, a tireless advocate for gender lens investing, launch Heading for Change. The Climate Plus Gender Philanthropic Fund is a legacy project for Beagle, who shared in the article that she was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic lung cancer 2 years ago. Impact Alpha will co-host a webinar to introduce the fund, Heading for Change, on Tuesday, April 25th. In 2019, Ariane Mahler founded Viridian Global Investors with the goal of driving decarbonization strategies across the globe. That meant not investing in low-emission companies, but rather companies that are actually creating decarbonization solutions. Now, Viridian is launching an ETF that brings a public market's carbon net negative strategy to investors from across the capital spectrum. Let's jump into David Bank's conversation with her.
Welcome, Ariane.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted. I've been looking forward to this conversation. You've got a strategy called Climate Action, which, of course, is what everybody is trying to mobilize. So just tell us a little bit about Viridian and Climate Action, and then we'll jump in.
Yeah. So I founded Viridian 4 years ago with the goal to invest only in companies that were bringing solutions to the problem of climate change. So those companies have as their main focus the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. And that spans the entire economy from, of course, as you would expect, utilities and electricity generations to electric vehicles, but also sectors that are not as well known as emitters in constructions, buildings, in agriculture, in waste management. So we looked at all the sources of emissions and we said, well, we have to reduce them. And it's funny, you just said something that is very true. Everybody's aware, everybody's working, everybody's trying. An industry that is not trying as much as it should, really, from my standpoint, is really the pension fund and the mutual fund industry and even ETFs. And I realized, you know, working in this field for many, many years, that the way people were going about it was really not impactful. They were hugging the benchmark with the names that were already the biggest names in the index, the FANGs, you know, the Amazons and the Googles and Apples. And we needed to invest in companies that had an impact, not in companies that were peripherally interested in climate, talked about it, but their main business was somewhere else. And so this is why we decided to launch this strategy.
Let's dig into that. But you mentioned ETFs, and just let's get this out of the way. I think you guys are preparing an ETF.
Yes, we are launching Climate Action, ticker CLIA, CLIA, with the goal of opening the strategy to all investors, small, big. And I believe that there's an enormous demand for this type of strategy in the market for people who care about climate. And a lot of them are young generations. If you have children, you've probably been yelled at for having a traditional car or for eating too much meat and all the rest of it. And frankly, these are the people who will drive the future of the planet. So we want to offer that strategy to them.
I want to dig in a little bit, as you said, on the distinction between some of the mainstream, as at this point, ESG ETFs and what you're calling true solutions. But let's even take one step further back and just clarify that we're talking here about public equities, publicly listed equities. Many folks, you know, are skeptical in the impact investing world that there really is impact to be had in the public markets. So maybe just take it at that level and then we'll dig into the particulars.
Well, why public listed equities? So first of all, when you're a pension plan or mutual fund, you invest in these companies that are listed because your objective is to return your pensioners or your clients are going to demand some returns. So you have to take that view and you have to invest in publicly listed companies because they are large. There are hundreds of billions of market caps out there. So if you want to contrast that with the private equity market, where you have typically smaller projects, yes, they could be very impactful if you build a solar farm, but that's going to be one solar farm. The companies we invest in build gigawatts of solar farm, hundreds, thousands of them. So they have a lot more impact if you want to measure them. It's going to be in terms of gigatons, not in terms of tons of CO2 avoided.
So if the measure is CO2 avoided, and you're looking at companies that are making that strategy or something that contributes to that strategy part, you know, their real business, their real revenues. I think the metric people are keying on now is what they call revenue materiality. And how do you figure that? And are there companies that actually meet the bar?
Oh, well, that's a very good question. In fact, most of the funds out there that do care about climate invest in companies that certainly talk about climate, but when you start doing the math, you find that they don't really contribute to the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. And that's because a lot of them are in industry that by definition don't emit, for example, media or telecoms or technology generally. I mentioned Google, Apple, Amazon. So those are the large index players that typically don't emit, or pharma is another good example. What we look at primarily is companies that are active in all those sectors that I mentioned earlier, including not just transportation and utilities, but also building, construction, waste management, agriculture, forestry, and bring solutions. So in terms of how to measure this, this is really important. You have to have an objective measure. This is not something that you pluck out of the air. So we went out and hired Urgentum. Urgentum is a consulting firm that has a bunch of PhD graduates and physicists and people who do that for a living. So they looked at all the companies that we invest in and they measured their impact. And they found that for every ton of CO2 that these companies emitted as part of their activities, whether they produce electricity or whether they make electric vehicles or whether they make batteries, they reduce emissions by a factor of 5.7. So every ton that they might have emitted is actually offset 5.7 times. So they're negative by a factor of almost 6. And this is a very, very big distinction. Most people out there will talk about net zero. Net zero is not going to get us anywhere. Net zero is too late. Read the latest IPCC report. The latest IPCC report that came out at the end of March is talking about 2 degrees up to 4 degrees increase in temperature. And it's important to understand that this is an average between the northern, the southern hemisphere, between night and day, and it's gigantic. okay, with 2 degrees, half of the population of the world will be in unlivable conditions. So that is why you need negative emissions, not just net zero. Net zero is what you're going to end up with Apple and Amazon and Google, etc. So that's not going to help.
As you mentioned, net zero is sort of the average. You need some folks that are net negative to average out the folks who are still going to be net positive. And as you say, even the net zero pledges from the companies that claim to be leaders is still lagging and it's too late. So, okay, so now we've even raised the bar further. We're looking for net negative companies that are driving their revenues from solutions, technologies, approaches, businesses that actually get carbon out of the air, not just reduce the amount of carbon going into the air. And again, my question, are there such companies?
Yes, they are. And they're quite public about it. Of course, you will have heard about Tesla and their Master Plan 3 that spells out what is needed in the economy. So, of course, you're going to need renewable power, and you already have solar, wind. But one of the key ingredients to the successful deployment of these technologies, battery storage. And we have certainly been late deploying these, but there's been major breakthrough technologically. And battery storage was going to help intermittent energy become more reliable. So this has been spelled out quite nicely in that Master Plan 3, which I would invite you to read. It's only 100 pages, or you could go on the webcast of Tesla on March 1st. That is a company that has actually spent a lot of time and effort figuring out what do we need to do to transition the whole world to a clean energy scenario. They haven't mentioned once climate change. And I think the reason is a lot of people would probably get ticked off by that. But the main reason is it's very economical. It's very commercially compelling to deploy these technologies. We have reached a point where they have become so cheap that there's no barrier and there's really no reluctance to deploy these technologies. The main example being Texas, which is the number one state in the U.S. to deploy these technologies today. I also want to mention names that are probably not as well known, you know, in building construction or in shipping or in waste management, or in precision agriculture, or in forestry. These are all industry that are going to bring solutions. And then don't forget, the best energy is the one you don't consume. It's energy efficiency, energy conservation. So there's a lot of companies active in that field, and we select the best ones at the best price we can find. And our goal is to show that it's possible to outperform owning these companies.
You mentioned that the tech companies, the FANG stocks, the Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, that make up a lot of the holdings of many of the so-called low-carbon ETFs. And, you know, the ESG ETFs, you know, had very healthy and positive inflows of capital when, you know, tech was high and oil was low. But when oil was high and tech was low and the returns on those funds didn't look so good, then the inflows slowed. So how do you just account for, you know, the fact that folks are still looking for returns, even in fossil fuels, even at this late date?
Well, that is a problem in our industry. Asset managers are incentivized to perform on a yearly basis. I want to say even on a monthly basis sometimes. And their incentive is very much to have the benchmark, as you described, when oil prices go up. And as you saw last year, you see a lot of ESG funds go back into fossil fuels. And we haven't even mentioned defense. You know, since Russia invaded Ukraine, defense stocks all of a sudden became ESG. It became a good thing to own them. So obviously, these are not companies that help with the climate issue. And that is why we don't focus on ESG, or we certainly don't try to just be ESG. We are a climate action fund. But frankly, what we have done is for over 4 years now is show that you can outperform, because the companies that we have picked have outperformed given their fundamentals. And why is that? The reason is there are very strong secular tailwinds behind this company's business model. So why is it so cheap now to put solar panels all over your house? Some companies in Australia even deploy houses that are completely made of solar panels, by the way. It's because it's become so cheap, it is compelling to deploy these technologies. And fossil fuels might have some great years, you know, as you've seen last week when Saudi Arabia cut its production targets by 1 million barrels a day, you found everyone in the market was squeezed if they were short. But if you take a longer term view, what is the future of a country or an economy that depends on fossil fuels? Well, it's going to have an expensive form of energy. It's going to have a dirty form of energy. It's going to have all kinds of geopolitical implications. And you certainly can't have energy independence, even at an individual level, when you depend, I'm not talking about other countries only, I'm talking about the grid even. So if you deploy renewables and batteries, as I was mentioning earlier, you have found a solution for your own family to become energy independent. And we have reached a point where there's abundant energy and it's cheaper than all the other forms of energy out there. So I think we've reached that point where, frankly, even the climate skeptic investors are embracing these technologies. They're not cyclical. They have secular tailwinds.
And indeed, even the government spending on the technologies is going to be a huge tailwind, separate from anything else. Ariana Mahler, you've hit on many of the themes we love at Impact Alpha, climate solutions, falling cost curves, and even Impact Alpha, as it were. So thank you for joining us. Ariane Mahler, Chief Investment Officer at Viridian Global Investors. And you want to say the ticker symbol one more time?
Yes, CLIA. It will be launched in a month and a half towards the end of May. So yeah, look out for it.
Thank you so much, Ariane.
Thank you for having me.
And that's going to do it for this week's Impact Briefing. You can read more about all of these stories at impactalpha.com. Thanks to Ariane, David, and our producer extraordinaire, Isaac Silk. Ready to try Impact Alpha? Sign up for Impact Alpha Open, totally free, directly at impactalpha.com. Want to go deeper? Grab a subscription and get full access to Impact Alpha, including the award-winning Morning Brief and our popular Agents of Impact calls. Just go to impactalpha.com/subscribe and choose an annual subscription. I'm Brian Walsh. Be sure to check back for next week's briefing. Until then, take good care.